Time now for Stars of Jazz, a program filled with the exciting and scintillating rhythms of America's own music. And the story of its colorful history is told by the well-known singer-composer and musician's musician, Bobby Troup. And now, here is Bobby Troup.
Good evening. Welcome again to Stars of Jazz. I think we're extremely fortunate in having as our special guest a lady author who, when she's not turning out sensational, best-selling autobiographies, kind of dabbles in jazz vocalizing. She's the great Lady Day, Billie Holiday, currently on the stand at Jazz City. She's written a book called Lady Sings the Blues, about which we'll talk quite a bit later on. Billie herself will intersperse our dialogue with three of the songs for which she's best known. Our other stars of jazz tonight come in trio form, also from Jazz City. The leader is pianist Pete Jolly. He and drummer Bob Neal and bassist Bob Berteau are representative of the newest of the new in jazz. That era of the third generation jazz man, musicians who were weaned on the ideas of the pioneers of progressive style. The results are tremendous. Why don't you just judge for yourself as the Pete Jolly Trio plays the wonderful old Rodgers and Hart song, Thou Swell. You know, Pete Jolly is adequate proof that the big cities are not the only spawning grounds of fine jazzmen. Wallingsford, Connecticut, and the arid desert city of Phoenix, Arizona, are the hometowns of this very fertile talent, which goes to show that jazz is where you find it. Just 4 short years ago, Pete Jolly put his pianistics to work at a club called the Jazz Mill in Phoenix. Word of his unusual talents reached the West Coast, and on a visit to the Hollywood area, Pete sat in with a group that included Mr. Shorty Rogers. I think just about one hearing was all Shorty needed, because soon after, he invited Jolly to join his wonderful Shorty Rogers and his Giants. Well, since then, Pete's musical star has been steadily in the ascendancy. For a man so young, Mr. Jolly displays a very unique maturity in his work. His technique is flawless, his style is most distinctive, his ideas flow with assurance. To wit, The Jolly Trio and Amour. Pete Jolly and Amour. You know, the legend that is Billie Holiday had its beginnings right here on the white front stoops of Baltimore, Maryland, for this is where Billie first sang. She sang here at the age of 6 to the accompaniment of her own scrub brush. She sometimes got as much as $2 for washing down 14 kitchen floors and just as many sets of steps. Even at 6, the song she sang was the blues. And with good reason. Billie's early life was nothing if not conducive to bitterness. In her own words, her mom and pop were just a couple of kids when they got married. He was 18, she was 16, and Billie was 3. Billie's first exposure to jazz and a variety of other things, well, it came about when she ran errands for an all-girl hotel. She passed up payment for her chores as long as they let her listen to the parlor record player. And an old Louis Armstrong recording of West End Blues.
Wad 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 wad.
Louis' music got to Billie. It was the first time she'd ever heard anybody sing without using words. But Louis' chanting had plenty of meaning for her. She got the message, and I don't think she's ever forgotten it. She remembered it for the remainder of her days in Baltimore, days that included, among other things, a one-year stay in a home of correction. She remembered the message of Louis' music upon her arrival in New York's Harlem. As Billie puts it, she was 13 years old, a hip kitty, and traveling light when she hit New York all by herself in the summer of 1927. She was 15 years old when she walked into Pod and Jerry's on 133rd Street in Harlem and sang professionally for the very first time. She was 15 when she left her childhood behind her and people first heard this. There's a line from a popular song, not a blues, that goes, "Then from the jail came the wail of a downhearted frail." The song goes on to say that the frail's jail wail had a lot to do with the birth of the thing called the blues. The truth of the matter is that while the blues certainly were nurtured in places like corrective institutions and gloomy saloons, they really and truly had their beginning somewhere in the deep rural South among the Negro field hands, long before the first jazz, jail, or joint. Roughly improvised songs were used to express troubles or joys or a generally bitter attitude towards the facts of life among the post-Civil War Negro population. These songs were truly the things that gave birth to the blues. If the field's hand were responsible for the conception of the blues, then people like Ma Rainey, Chippy Hill, and the great Bessie Smith were its governesses. The blues expressed the longings, the frustrations, and even the happy feelings of the downtrodden. They'll continue to do so because of people like the greatest of all the present-day blues singers, Billie Holiday. So let's listen as Lady sings the blues. What about the book itself? What about Lady Sings the Blues by Miss Billie Holiday? Is it enough to say that this is a volume that tells of a life that touched on all the vices and all the good things simultaneously? Should it be added that a similar story might have been written by any number of Billie's kind who make their living in the world of jazz? Or can it be said about Lady Sings the Blues, that it's a factual piece that strives to teach a moral lesson by striking out against oppression, circumstance, and bigotry. Whatever the approach to an appraisal of the work, all we can say is that we read it and we were tremendously impressed. We'll leave the analyzing to the sociologists. There's one thing, however, about Lady Sings the Blues that we certainly can't pass up. It's the very last line in Billy's book, and it reads, "Tired? You bet. But all that I'll soon forget with my man." Well, the man Billy is talking about is her husband, Louis McKay. In her story, Billy says, "God has blessed you when he lets you believe in someone, and I believe in Louis." By her own admission, if it weren't for Louis McKay, Billie Holiday probably wouldn't be here tonight. But all that, reformatories, back streets, heartbreaks, and narcotics, she'll soon forget too with her man.
It costs me a lot, but there's one thing that I've got. It's my man. It's my man. Cold, wet, tired, you bet. All of this I'll soon forget with my man. He's not much on looks. He's no hero out of books. But I love him. Yes, I love him. Two or three girls has he that he likes as well as me. But I love him. I don't know why I should. He isn't true. He beats me too. What can I do? Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. All my life is just despair. But I don't care. When he takes me in his arms, the world is bright. What's the difference if I say I'll go away when I know I'll come back on my knees someday? For whatever my man is, I'm his. For
great artist, Miss Billie Holiday, our very warm thanks for being with us to tell her story tonight on Stars of Jazz. Mr. Jolly, you know, in my experience of music, I don't think I've ever known anyone who so quickly has risen to the top in jazz. Do you know that? Just about a year ago, you came out to see Howard and Bobina Volson and Don Baker and me at the Huntington Sheraton. Remember that?
Sure.
Here you are, an RCA Victor recording artist. Last year, Mr. Jolly won the Downbeat Award as the number one new star on piano. There must be someone, Pete, whom you can attribute most of this to. Whom would you say is your biggest influence in jazz?
I would say Shorty Rogers.
Shorty Rogers?
That's right. When I first came out here, I had a call from Shorty, and he asked me if I wanted to join his group. And it was a real thrill to me. Ever since then, it's been nothing but...
Well, he's a great arranger and a great trumpet player and certainly a great man in jazz. Now, tell me something else. Maybe this might be a little kind of a square question to ask you, Pete, but as great a pianist as you are, certainly you must have some man whom you would say is the greatest of all pianists, whom you would talk about, where you derived your style and so on. Who would that be?
Well, I have two or three, Bobby, and mentioning them, I would say Bud Powell, Horace Silver, and George Wallington. I think those are my three favorites.
They're awful good. Wish I could play like them. Mr. Pete Jolly now, his trio, and an original composition by Pete, Skating.
Listen again next week for Stars of Jazz with America's own music and the story of its colorful history as told by that well-known singer-composer, Bobby Troup. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.